hearts be the... But don't try this. I don't think they're playable.
Aren't they?
No. Yeah, theoretically you can do it, but...
You can do anything.
Nobody can play so fast with that. It's impossible. Yeah. If I can play it, I don't see if I can play anybody, but if I can play it, the majority of people can't, because I have a technique, so if I can do it.
Yeah. But yeah, it has to do justice to the music too, doesn't it?
No, because, you know why? Because if something is very easy on the piano, and then it becomes horribly difficult on the guitar, the music suffered for that, because also you listen to something that is very simple, but you feel the difficulty, so there is something wrong, you know? So I think that the difficulty in doing one piece has to be proportional to the effect that you create. When it's too difficult, I don't play.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Oh, yeah. So now you've travelled widely. You've travelled everywhere, haven't you?
Well, I travelled a lot, yes.
And so is there a common thread to teaching, or do some countries differ so wildly? Is there a sort of a common ground, or do some... I know in Eastern Europe, in Czechoslovakia and Prague, like with the Stepan Rack School, they're sort of branched out and there's certain idiosyncrasies. You know, you can tell, for example, Pavel Stiedl, it was a pupil of Milan Zelenka and Rack, because that whole school is sort of permeates through his playing. So do you think that there, what's your viewpoint on this?
I think that teaching is a one-to-one, on one-to-one basis. So it's very important the personality of the teacher more than the place in which you are, in general. So there are teachers with big personality and they create a school, you know, a stream, a point of view.
Like Segovia.
Like Segovia, like also maybe also Rack.
Yes.
Like there are many teachers who has a strong point of view and so they influence very much their pupils. But if you want to know about nations, you know, the feeling that I had, but I'm not totally sure of that in Japan, they have an idea very much based on technique, more than on music.
Yeah?
That's the feeling that I had. They have an attitude, I don't know, it's not a nice thing, I don't want to write it down.
No,
you know.
Well, I won't.
Anyway,
With Yamashita. Yamashita was an exception.
I know Yamashita. We had lunch together just 1 month ago.
Really?
Yeah. We met years ago. And
he's a wonderful
player. Yeah, very nice guy. When he plays, he looks like a samurai, you know?
Oh, yes.
He's scary somehow. But when he came to visit me with 4 kids, a wife, very, very sweet person.
Yes. Yeah.
Incredible technique.
I know. Was your television show popular? And how did that evolve?
Well, I did... Well, you mentioned the 16...
16
the thing,
series,
yeah. That was a series that was very followed by, of course, by the one who lost the guitar. But I've seen their work because sometimes I meet people who has the video cassette of my recording, maybe in United States or in other places. I don't know how they did, but I think there are some amateurs, you know, they exchange things, you know. Yeah. I find the recording of my TV shows in United States.
Ah.
Weird. Anyway, it was... was 20 minutes each. I would play and explain about the repertoire. It was a one-man show.
So how did that come about?
Because, you know, sometimes by chance, you know, there was a director of this television who was a guitar lover. He liked my playing very much and he offered me to do this. He proposed me to do this thing. And I said yes.
Yeah. So you couldn't refuse it?
No.
Yeah, just moving back to contemporary music, what, like you've played all those people like Petrassi and Boulez and so on, Henze, what part does that play in music education? Like, you've got this traditional repertoire, which will continue to be popular, but then you've got those pieces I just mentioned.
Yeah, playing contemporary music require particular training. But especially if you play with the group, like the pieces that you mentioned, like Pierre Boulez, or Heinze, or Berio, these people here. I have to confess, it's more a technique that you need more than an artistry. You know, you feel more a technician. You can do that, and so you feel good, but it's nothing. When you play a piece of music which is based on, like Boulez, how do you call it in English? Structuralism, you say that? Structuralism, like structures. Structural music, how do you call it?
Yes, it was structural.
Maybe structural music. What you have to do is to do what is written. You cannot add anything of yourself.
No.
Because there is no room for that. It's not required at all. It's required that you do the bloody the note in the right place. And that's it. So, yes, then you have the satisfaction to hear the whole thing together, you know, when you play with the other instrument. But when you study the piece, it's a nightmare.
See, it requires so much discipline.
Yes, very much, and you have to solfège, you know, five divided four notes into five, then this and then 11 notes, but they have to stay in seven, then change becoming 3/8, and then goes 3/16, and then 7/15, and then Jesus Christ.
And if when you come back to conventional music, it must be so easy.
Oh, nothing.
You do it with a yawn.
Yes, a piece of cake.
Wow. Yes. So that takes you up to a whole new level, a whole quantum leap. As far as just from compositional technique, or at least, and just your technique, it would have to take you to that whole.
Yes, yes, and also most of the time, the contemporary composers don't know the guitar very at all. Let's say so, what they do is not even very easy to play sometimes. So it requires works.
Yeah.
When in the 70s I did a lot of that, and as a young musician or starting a career was very, very interesting for me. Also because it was another time, another period of time, was more exciting, was people would believe in that, you know. So there was an exciting time that I lived with pleasure. I'm happy to live this moment. I did the premiere of Petrassi, for instance, the world premiere of Petrassi.
What, the Nook?
Of the Sestina d'Autunno. It's a piece for six
years,
right?
Yeah.
So it was a satisfaction for me, you know. I did several premieres, and I was popular among composers because they know I could do that. You know, I could read this stuff and play. But then, after years of doing this, I started saying, "But okay, what about creation? What about my own thing?" You know, I'm not a composer.
No,
I am an interpreter, so I want to interpret something.
So now what about audiences for contemporary music? Are there is there a very limited audience for it, or is there a vast audience for it?
It's a limited audience. It exists. There is a market for contemporary music, but it's very limited audience. And I think it will be always more limited because I think that contemporary music, like contemporary art, took a wrong way. It goes too far from the sensibility of the people.
Yes.
Doesn't communicate anymore.
No.
And the language, everybody creates his own language, so it's absolutely impossible to understand for the people. Like if you are a poet and you invent a language, your own language, and you write a poem in that language, nobody can understand. Maybe it's a beautiful thing, but nobody can possibly understand.
Yes.
So most of the time when you hear a concert of contemporary music, most of the time, not every time, but let's say many times, you are in a situation, in a space in which something happened that you cannot understand, you cannot relate one thing, you don't know what's going on, you cannot anticipate, you cannot, so you are lost in this space, and you say, why am I here, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. All right, last question.
Yeah.
So, are you optimistic about the future of music education on this planet?
I am optimistic in general, so...
Yeah, I'm quite sorry. I am particularly optimistic. In music education. Have you got any viewpoint where that's, as far as its direction?
Yeah, well, let's say that in the last year we had a phenomenon of globalization. Globalization can be bad or good. Anyway, there is something that is positively good, which is the ideas goes much faster all around the globe. Also, we had the phenomenon of technicism, as I said before, the people who is perfect and the technique is so high that now becomes not interesting anymore. That's my feeling. So the attention is going again, as it should be, on the artistic quality of the person, so the ability of a person to communicate and to create emotions. What I'm feeling all around the world is that people is tired of technicism and want to have emotion again. And this...
Like a neo-romanticism, it might.
Yeah, somehow. Let's say that a high technique is not anymore, in general, the point to reach, but expression, more expression is starting being valued again.
Can I just say something there? Is that like, I heard a rumor that Leo Brower was returning more to, there was like a neo-romanticism in his more recent writing.
Yeah, he
called it. And he's gone full circle again.
He called it hyper-romanticism.
He what?
Hyper-romanticism.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, from, let's say, the Cameron Negro, which is 1980-something.
Yep.
He called this kind of genre hyper-romanticism. And yes, I think that many composers are going back to a language who is understandable and who conveys some ideas and who creates some emotions. I hope.
Flavio, thank you.
You're welcome.
That was good. Are you, when you, I'll just turn that off.